And it was about a year and a half ago, my daughter was going through a time at school where she was making a stand for righteousness. And because of that, all her friends at school and at church rejected her, because when she makes a stand for righteousness, it's usually not with grace. It's usually with a finger in someone's face. She modeled after her daddy before I had a revelation of the Father's love. And so because of that, it came back on her, and now all this rejection is coming at her, and it hurts. You know, 17-year-old, it hurts when everybody around you that you hang out with rejects you and starts talking about you and talking behind your back. And my daughter used to come in from school. There was just such breakthroughs in her life. She would come in from school, and I try to always be home when I'm home when my children come out of school. And she just comes on in, and she just comes on over, and she just sits down in my lap, you know, and, "Hey, Daddy, how you doing today?" And she just loves on me. And I mean, it is such a gift and a treasure. I mean, I just look at her and I just weep. And to have this place in your daughter's heart, and I said it last night or yesterday, it is an awesome thing for your children to have a place in your heart, but it's even more awesome for your children to have a place in their heart for you. And boy, it just gives you warm fuzzies all over. And one day she just blows into the house from school, and I'm waiting for her to come, and she blows right by me and goes back in the bedroom and closes the door. What did I do? You know how often that happens with teenagers. I didn't do anything. In a few minutes, I wait, and she's still back there, and I knock on the door. "Sarah, why don't you come on out?" I don't want to, Dad. Did I do something? Let me know what I did. You haven't done anything. And we literally couldn't get her out of her room. And days went by, and she talked some to Mom, but she wouldn't talk to me. All this hurt, all this woundedness, all this rejection, all the girls and kids talking bad about her and gossiping about her. And see, when things were going good, when everything was going right in her life, she's Daddy's little girl, she's right there receiving my love. But when things begin to go wrong, she would isolate herself from my love. And it's like she would separate herself. Now, I know nobody else in this room does that. You know, when everything's going good, God is great. But when everything's going bad, how hard it is to pray. How hard it is to be with them. How hard it is to spend time with them. And several weeks went by, and it was breaking my heart. I hadn't done anything. And yet every day she comes in and she just walks right by and she just goes back and cuts herself off and isolates herself. It's one thing to legally be a son in the Father's house, and it's another thing to receive a love relationship with the Father. And I finally asked her on the way to school. I was driving her to school one day, and when my daughter doesn't want to talk about something, you had better not talk about something. But I had been up for several nights not sleeping. My heart ached at the loss of having a place in my daughter's heart. She still had a place in mine, but she stopped receiving that place. And she became a spiritual orphan. Wasn't even sin involved, except for bitterness and resentment. I mean, not some immoral thing, just her anger at what people had done to her. And it left her from being in a safe place, living in a home of perfect love, of warmth, belonging, affirmation, to where she moved into isolation. She moved right into that orphan spirit. And so I'm up at night just weeping. I couldn't even sleep because I'd lost the heart of my daughter. And out of that, God's saying, "Jack, this is what my heart feels like when you get too busy for me. This is what my heart feels like when you start doing it all yourself and trying to solve all your problems on your own." So now I really had sleepless nights. And I had bags under my eyes, and I'm driving my daughter to school, and she won't let me talk to her. She won't let me comfort her. "Daddy, how come you look so tired? Why is there bags under your eyes? You look like you haven't slept." "I haven't slept for 3 nights." "Oh, she's opening the door." "Oh, what's the matter?" "I've been crying all night." "Are you and Mom having problems?" "No, I've been crying for you." "Don't go there." Didn't use those words, but gave me that look, you know, that says, "Don't go there." And I said, you know what hurts so much, Sarah? It's for 14 years that we weren't able to have that bonding relationship. And then God heals our hearts. And we've had such an awesome relationship for 3-4 years. And one of the greatest moments of my day is when you just come and hold me. Allow me to hold you. And now, when things don't go well in your life, I lose a place in your heart and it breaks mine. By now she has her back turned to me and pulling up in school, and I'm weeping and she's fighting back, her makeup getting all smeared up, and she gets out, and days pass. She finally says, Daddy, I don't know what is the matter with me. I know you're a safe place. I know I could come to you. And yet something inside of me fears coming to you. I want you to pray over me. You and Mom pray over me. And we got a time when no one else was in the house, and we took our daughter into my study and we began to just pray. And I know every type of prayer technique and model and method and prayer counseling and deliverance and all of that stuff. And God says, just don't go there with all that. And we just asked her, Sarah, at what point did you cease receiving me as Father? And then I just said, let's just listen. What memory comes to mind? When did you stop receiving me? She said, Dad, how old were you when you left pastoring that church and you went back captaining that marlin fishing boat? How old were you down there in Merle's Inlet? Well, you were about 5. Do you remember when Mom brought me down to the boat that one day, and she lifted me up and she put me over onto the boat, and I ran into you, and I was sitting in the cabin in a big overstuffed chair, and it's a real nice fancy rich man's fishing boat. And she said, and I ran and I jumped in your lap, and she came running, my little girl, running to jump in my arms, and knee first as I'm just sitting here ready for her. Oh! And it was just a gut reaction from my hidden core pain. I in no means meant to reject her, hurt her, wound her, but she just happened to put the knee where it did not need to be. And when it happened, I just threw her out of just a reaction of pain. And she flew across the room to a sofa, a couch that was on the other side, 8-10 feet in the air. And she landed on the floor, and she was on the couch and just started screaming, and I'm on the floor and I'm screaming and crying, and she's screaming and crying over there. And it took me a couple of minutes to finally to get over the hurt, and I finally got up and I took her in my arms. I did everything to comfort her, apologize to her. I didn't mean this, I didn't mean that, and yet there was still something not quite right there, and just it just kind of faded away through the time, the days, the weeks, and months, and we just thought, well, that was over. And now, 12 years later, at what point did you stop trusting me? At what point did you lose basic trust in me? And we started praying over that five-year-old girl, not Sarah all grown up. And as we started praying of her, a wail and agony and screams came out of that little girl and just poured out of her and just poured out of her and poured out of her. You see, we lose basic trust. We lose a spirit of sonship when as children we touch some of the hidden core pain within our mothers and fathers. And at some point in time in our life, we make this hidden core decision to stop receiving them as a mother and father. And we move into independence, isolation, and we don't realize we take on the attitude of a spiritual orphan. And I wrote down the definition I have is a feeling that you do not have a home, a safe and secure place to where you are affirmed, protected, and comforted in the Father's heart. And here's the progression. You'll want to write this down if you're a note taker. How does it happen? How do you lose the spirit of sonship? Number one, first, you see the fault in a parent. Somehow you touch their hidden core pain. And it comes back out on you. You see the fault. If you were here last night, for Sarah, with her mother, she lost the spirit of a daughtership towards her mother when the doctor told her, you're pregnant. And it took many, many years for that to be restored, for her to ever bond to her mother. But for me, she didn't lose it till I was five. She was 5 years old. Number two, seeing the fault in the parent leads to disappointment, grief, or wounding. Or all three. It leads to disappointment or wounding. It disappointed my daughter that as she touched my hidden core pain, I responded like that. Now, this was an accident, but how many times in our homes is it not an accident? How many times is it a result of our own emotional wounding, not physical wounding, that we react out of the pain of our youth to our children with the lack of storge love that we talked about last night? When our children are in need of comfort, they're in need of acceptance, they're in need of affirmation, and we lash out with anger, leads to disappointment and wounding.